And to tell you the truth, I think... Oh, shit.
What happened?
a painting fell off the wall.
What? Did it break?
The image slipped off of its backing.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Good evening, Ted. It is episode 142 of the Trailer Junkies podcast, and this is JoJo Muffintin coming to you. How the hell are you?
JoJo Muffintin? What is that?
That's my elf name, man. That's my elf name.
What? How do you get your elf name? Is it the street you lived on and then...
Okay, so my first initial is J, uh-huh. JoJo. I was born in March, Muffintin.
Okay.
If you go with E...
No, I want T.
You want T. Okay, so T. And then you were born in November?
November, that's correct, yeah.
November. Okay, so you're Poppy Ginger Pants.
Poppy Ginger Pants?
If we go with your birth name, Edward, I would prefer... Yeah. Tinsel Ginger Pants. I would prefer that one, but
okay. It's Tinsel Ginger Pants coming at you with his holiday beer.
That's right.
Are we gonna do our beers before we go too far?
Well, you already told me you have a holiday beer. So what do you have?
Well, I will tell you that I like the label on this one so much.
Oh,
that I got a Belgian ale.
Oh, nice.
And it's called
Van Yuletide. Nice. I love that.
And it's Los Angeles Ale Works.
And it has a bad sweater label, too.
It has the sweater label. It has beers and reindeer. And let me just read it to you because it is, you know, another one of these hilarious. Warm up with this spiced Belgian ale featuring cinnamon, clover, ginger, anise, which I guess is star anise, and pink peppercorns.
Pink peppercorn.
All right, let's pop this one. It's a can.
Man, I wish I had some Christmas ale tonight, but you know what? We have time for that. Maybe we should get more Christmas ale.
Yeah.
All right, well, I have Feeling My Stout. Full Circle Brewing Company. It's a golden stout. And the reason I have it is because I've brewed a number of stouts and I've never heard of a golden stout, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It's 6 ABV. It's not real high. It's 6. So, and it's a can as well. Ooh, it smells good. They tend to have the, both mine and yours, they have that like silver aluminum can with the sticker slapped on the side.
Just a sticker. You know, we're not going to spend a lot of money on that. Put more into the design of the sweater.
This ain't no Budweiser up in here. Wow, this smells like really like stouty coffee, sort of. I'll let the head go down and see. So how's yours taste?
Mine is definitely a Belgian, so not a huge fan. I got it more for the label. I was intrigued by the spice, right?
Right.
And the spice makes it... A little more.
Is it over spicy?
No, it's not over spicy.
Okay, good.
The peppercorns I can taste. It's got some cinnamon notes to it. Anne and I, you know, and the kids, we've all been making soap this week.
Making soap?
Yeah.
How do you make soap?
Well, you get soap. You get soap bars, like big, huge 5-pound, 10-pound blocks of soap base.
Dude, you got to take a shower and like, you know, you don't have to show any privates or anything.
Right.
Get like crazy, like scrubbing bubble bath and make you completely in like foam and have a towel as if it's like a wash rag and then have this enormous bar of soap. Like you somehow found yourself in the giant's castle and you're trying to get clean.
Oh,
that would be amazing. You
know, they pour a 10-pound like bar into this bag,
bar of soap.
And then they box it up in the bag. They put a bag in a box and they pour into that. So already when you get it out, you have to like get it out of the bag so you can chop it up. And I pulled it out, and literally the kids and I were like, the first thing we were doing was like, oh, we got to go and pretend like we're showering with this thing and stuff. And of course, Anne was not having any fun with that.
So. Yeah, but you could wear a swimming trunks. It's not like you're in there naked.
I know. But we're making these. Yeah, but we wanted to keep it all clean and sanitary. And
keeping sterile. It clean. I get you. Because you're making soap. I see how that works.
Well, we had a cinnamon oat soap, so that's why I was like, I'm having flashbacks from making that cinnamon earlier in the week.
Oh, nice.
And this is a Belgian that has cinnamon. You know, I think it's a little gimmicky, to tell you the truth.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Well, we have that in common tonight.
Uh-oh.
So I've brewed a number of stouts, and the thing that makes a stout, generally speaking, would be the smoky, I don't know, the smoky cooked dark grain, the burnt, deep, robust grain that you used that makes a stout the black color that it is and gives you that chocolatey, smoky aroma and flavor. What I would say with this is it's made with cocoa nibs, vanilla, coffee, and lactose.
Mm.
What I would say is cocoa nibs, vanilla, coffee, and lactose doesn't make for a stout. It makes for a cocoa nibs, vanilla, coffee, and lactose beer. This is nothing like a stout. It's just like a lot of coffee and cocoa nibs and...
Can I see the color of it?
Oh, yeah. No, it's really light. It's really light.
Yeah.
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 It's not... and there's the can.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a fun can, I guess. But it's not anything close to a stout, but for the additives, which doesn't make... Like, when you have the dark, black, chocolatey, robust, thick stouts, and they add coffee and chocolate and cocoa and all that kind of stuff. Okay, those are to enhance the stout. That doesn't make it a stout.
Right.
I think this, they're trying to make a stout out of a pale ale.
Mm, yes.
It tastes good. It absolutely tastes good, but it's not a stout.
Don't call it a stout.
Not at all.
It's not a stout.
Call it a
pale ale.
Pale ale with cocoa and chocolate. And, you know, don't try and fake it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, like I said, it's tasty. I like it. I would get it again even. I would recommend it. It's not a stout.
Oh, these are getting added to Frank's Christmas present.
Oh, yours?
I got a 4-pack.
Oh, nice. Nice. I'm sure he'll enjoy it. Make sure you give it to,
he loves Belgians.
Yeah, and make sure you give it to him before they come to visit us.
Okay, cool. So you're gonna share,
but not too soon, so he drinks them all. All right, man, how's your week this week?
Good week. Ann got me an early Christmas present, and I guess I'm not supposed to know, but I went to the gym to work out this morning, and now she knows that I know.
Wait, the gym's open?
No, my gym, my home gym.
Oh, your gym. Okay.
And she found 25 and 30 pound dumbbells, so she bought me a pair of each.
Oh,
of
nice.
Those.
Yeah.
So cool. We have the full set now. We have the 10s, the 15s, the 20s. And then she added the 25s.
Wait,
the
where's the 100 pounders?
I don't need no 100 pounds.
Yeah, you need the 100 pounders like Ronnie Coleman, man. Me and Clarissa were watching the Ronnie Coleman documentary that he had and stuff. I mean, that dude was enormous. I forget. He was like deadlifting like, you know, 900 pounds or something insane.
Wow.
Or something.
Wow.
It was insane. But, you know, with all of that, he wound up with multiple back surgeries, multiple knee surgeries, hip problems. And
ouch.
Because he was lifting way more than like your body's designed to lift.
Yeah.
You know?
Not built.
Oh, the guy was massive.
Even those guys are not, you know. Just the joints. Just the joints.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean,
made for it.
Yeah, he was just, his body was thrashed, and he would still go in and lift, you know, and
we had this huge meeting this week, and I guess it's kind of public knowledge. It's the Walt Disney Company Investor Day, where it's a 4+ hour meeting where all the investors get to watch on the internet on the little portal for investors for Disney. I sent you the link, but yeah, and they had over 100 pieces of new content, and a lot of it was just shown to like Wall Street and the high level investors. I guess there's a. It used to be the people in the room would see it. You know, you'd have to travel to go to the the day to go see it. But
kind of like an Apple iPhone release or something.
Right,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now I don't know how they decide. I guess there's a certain cutoff. So we were just sitting there in the dark, like the rest of the majority of people. And my son was out here watching it because they did show some trailers and some fun stuff. But a lot of it times when they went in between, if they had like a 2-minute trailer, they'd play like trivia. They'd have like a trivia screen up and they have like 4 questions in 2 minutes.
So it was like 100 releases of 2-minute trailers?
Well, not all of them had 2-minute trailers. Sometimes they would say, all right, here's the Marvel lineup and here's what we're putting on Disney Plus. It's all about Disney Plus this year. You know, how are we going to serve Disney, feed Disney Plus. But it was so funny as the trivia questions came up, Bryce started chanting more trivia questions. Cause there's only like, they put one up and if it's up for 5-10 seconds and then it goes dark for 20 seconds and then it had another. So the trivia questions are very slow rolling.
Do you have an example of a trivia question?
Oh, how many? Which of these Disney movies won an Academy Award, you know, or which Pixar movie won Academy Award? That was something like that.
Oh, okay. And was it multiple choice or did you have to?
Multiple choice. Yeah.
It was multiple choice.
Always,
okay.
They'd always pop up 4 questions. And so Bryce and I were playing that the whole time during the meeting.
Well, that's cool. That's a lot of fun too. I mean, to kind of keep you going with
At least they had something
for like the 4.5 hours that I guess it went on.
But how was your week? What are you up to?
Yeah, week was good. So I had a couple of things going on. One, I'm coming down one of the bike lanes, you know, and I'm riding over to the post office. And as I'm cruising, out of the blue comes this woman. And she, like, I hate to say she jumped out of the bushes because that makes it sound a little bit, like, weird. She didn't jump out of the bushes, but, like, she approaches me as I'm riding past.
Right.
And she has her bike and all these groceries and everything.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
With a flat tire.
Right, right.
So she stops me and she said, do you have a cell phone? And I said, why, what's up? You know, and she said, I'm on my way home from, you know, the grocery store and I had a flat tire. So well, where do you live? She said, I just live around the corner. So we'll throw him in the bike, you know, because I have the Urban Arrow and stuff. I said, throw him in the bike.
Right.
I'll take him home for you. You know, we could just walk down the road, down the street. So she takes her bike, she locks it up and everything, and we walk over. And the whole, I'm going to heaven, by the way. And the whole time she's wanting to offer me $10. And I keep telling her, don't worry about it. You know, I don't need
right.
You know, that's great. I'm not doing it for the money or, you know, I don't need the money or whatever. I'm telling her over and over. And she keeps like laying blessings upon me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Jesus sent me there and Jesus is going to do this and bless you. And she's just going on and on. So the good news is I got that going for me.
Right.
And we get to her house, you know, and she unloads and everything. And I just kind of go off on my own. But yeah, it was really nice to help her and everything. Nice woman. I don't know how old she was, but younger than me. And mm-hmm. and we got to the house and her kids, you know, helped to bring in the groceries and stuff. But, you know, it's one of those things where when you're just cruising around on your bike and stuff, like community kind of happens spontaneously where,
right.
You know, cruising past at 45 miles an hour just wouldn't happen that way.
There's no way you'd stop in a car. Yeah,
exactly. And the second thing is, so I had a health screening this week. I don't have the full results. They check like your arteries, they check your blood sugar, your glucose, your bone density, they check all this stuff. And,
right.
You know, I'm turning 50 and I just want to get all this stuff checked. So I'm sitting there, they do the blood and everything. Man, cholesterol is on point. Like,
nice, nice.
Yeah, the good cholesterol's high enough, the low cholesterol's low enough, the total cholesterol's like 200-ish or maybe a little below.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on point. But the guy said, oh, you're diabetic. I said, what? No, I'm not diabetic. And he shows me the glucose numbers. And I was thinking, oh, damn. So they did. They're also doing this hemoglobin A1C.
Yeah.
Where they do like a 3-month span. And right. It looks at like
historical sugars.
Yeah, like in other words, like the worse your glucose is, the stickier it gets, so it sticks to the blood cells, and it kind of has this, like you said, historical look at it, so we'll see. The night prior, me and Clarissa were drinking some what I call old number sevens.
Whiskey?
I don't know. Well, no, but I don't know if what they're called, but essentially it's margaritas with lime, bowls, and Jack Daniels.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I swapped the Jack Daniels for the tequila. And we were drinking a number of those, and we were pretty smashed by the time we went to bed. And here at this health screening the following morning. And like I told Clarissa, I said, you know, when you have an orange, there's nothing wrong with an orange, but when you drink orange juice, it's like you've eaten 17 oranges.
Right.
You know, because you have to juice it and there's no pulp or anything, or very little pulp, and or fiber, I should say. And so I'm like, well, maybe that was part of it. I said, I don't know why my blood sugar was high. So I was kind of nervous, and I wasn't going to have any beer tonight because I was thinking maybe it's the carbs and the beer and all this stuff. And then so I did like extensive research.
Are you testing tomorrow? You're not testing tomorrow.
No, this was on Tuesday.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could have a beer tonight and it's not going to like...
I'm not talking about testing. I'm talking about just for my blood sugar.
Okay.
I don't want to die on while we're recording or something, you know? Go into a diabetic coma or something.
That would be awful.
Exactly.
I wouldn't know what to do.
What I'm saying, though, you're going to be like, 911, what's the emergency? Up in Lompoc. I'm Zooming right now. No, but I was thinking, I'm like, do I ever drink again?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
So I'm like, okay. So I did extensive research on beer and all this stuff. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, we'll see where it goes. Well, alcohol is, well, I shouldn't say alcohol specifically, but beer is both good for cholesterol and I'm not a doctor. Consult your physician. I'm putting out that right there because I don't need
to. Disclaimer.
Yeah, the disclaimer. But the cholesterol and the blood sugar beer tends to be good for, because if anything, it lowers your blood sugar. And the main thing is, I think it might have been because I never had blood sugar problems prior ever. So I think it might have been just all the old number sevens I was making. You know, and a little bit hungover. Of course, why the hell am I drinking before a health screening?
I know. On a Monday night. Come on, man.
But like I told Clarissa, I said, here's the thing. I'm going to do what I do. And if it comes out a little bit off, then I know what I'm doing isn't good for me.
Right.
But it's like if you train for the doctor's appointment and you come out stellar, but are you training for like every single day? No, I got to go in with what we're doing.
Right.
So that's kind of how we went with it. So.
But if you train for the doctor's appointment and then you get better, then you could like shoot for the middle kind of thing.
Yeah, but how do you know though?
You only change one thing between then and now.
That's exactly right.
Only one variable.
What I'm going to do is, I figure sugar drinks like that stuff are a no-go anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore because, man, they're not good. Well, they're good, but they're not good for you.
Those cocktails, yeah.
Yeah, the cocktails, right? The sweet ones stuff. Also, like when it comes to pies, ice cream, candy and stuff, like I don't eat a lot of it, but what I do, I mean, I eat like everybody else. I'll have that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to cut it back and everything. And when I go to my physical in a few weeks, do the blood work, I'm going to see what I get. If things are still going, I'm going to have to just change it and we'll just work it from there. But the last thing I want to do is be on like diabetic medication or something. Because,
oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, all the fitness I do, and we eat really healthy and stuff. It's just I like my beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the funny thing is I rarely ever drink those kind of drinks. And our neighbor came over with a bunch of limes. And I said, we got all these limes. Let's make some drinks with it, you know? And it was like, other than that, like I never do those drinks, you know? So, but anyway, that was the week there. But so Ted.
Yes.
Give me the goddamn kitty cat bracelet. What do you think? Nobody?
Nobody. It looked good, right? I mean, the trailer, like, socks you in the face, right? It's like,
Dude, I slowed it down as slow as YouTube would go. He totally takes that one.
He took it, right? It's a real shot.
Did you do that or no?
Yeah, I think I could do it.
No, did you slow it down?
Yeah. Wait, I didn't slow it down, but look, I watched it a couple of times because it looked real.
Oh no, I even played for Clarissa. Mm-hmm. The fist totally makes contact and his cheeks do the jiggle after the hit and stuff in slow-mo.
Right, right, right.
He totally takes it on the chin. That's an awesome trailer. That's the best trailer to the trailer.
It was exciting to see because I was like, this has got to be one of the best, if not the best, trailer to trailer.
The best. 100%.
Whether it's in the movie or not, I don't care.
And there's no scene where that happens.
No, they can't. I mean, that's what I said. If it's going to be in the movie, it's going to be a shock to me. So he had to do this.
It's a metaphor.
Odekirk did it for the marketing. He did it for the marketing of the movie.
The hit on the chin is a metaphor. That's all it is. It's just, this is what it's all about.
No setup, no nothing. It was just like somebody's getting punched in the face.
Whoever thought of that is brilliant.
Yes. No, it's a marketing masterpiece. Are Timmy and Mikey old enough to play fighting with you? Like, no. I don't let them watch this. But do they, I mean, they definitely do play fighting, right? They play fight with you?
Oh yeah. No, they'll be taking me down. But then like at some point I stand up and I like body slam them on the bed and stuff. And yeah, of course. We've been doing that for years.
Bryce is getting to the age now, right around 11, where he's like,
we're like his punches
just
hurt.
Throwing punches.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, they hurt, but he also like, he'll throw punches, but he doesn't know how to pull them. You
know what I mean? Like, no. So Mike, he'll be like, oh, this is such a good time. And like, he throws a swing at me.
Uh-huh.
And he'll like step into the punch, right. And he like follows through. And yeah. Like totally like slugs me in the face. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, but we're playing. I'm like, no, we don't like step into it, follow through. Like, no, you gotta like fake it, man. You gotta fake it, you know? I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal. But this looks amazing. Oh yeah. And then I also enjoy the Louis Prima Just a Gigolo.
The music is perfect throughout. Yeah.
At the trailer to the trailer, they give a hint of Louis Prima.
Uh-huh.
And then as it goes through, and the reason I like that because my grandmother just loved Louis Prima. I would say Louis Prima and Dean Martin were her favorite musicians and everything.
Really?
And so as this was going on, I just brought back so many memories of my grandmother and stuff, which I loved. And I never realized Saul was such a badass.
But I mean, the story of the movie, or regardless of the story of the movie, but the story of the trailer, it plays out like, it has all the hits and all the, you know, the ebb and flow of a cinematic piece. You know, it is a mini movie unto itself, you know?
Oh, it's amazing.
It plays out like he's a nobody, like he's a wimp, you know, and and his neighbor even like tries to outshine him. I wish he'd broken into my house kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have been like taking him down.
You know, his kid has a black eye and he's like, you should have punched, could have taken her, dad. And it's a girl, right? And he's got the golf club and he second guesses himself in the dark hallway. And you just think of like, oh, this just drove this guy to be a vigilante, right? You know, and there's a moment in the middle where it looks like, you know, when he goes in the subway or the bus or whatever, and he's like taking out those thugs, and you're like, oh, he just went straight crazy and went vigilante. And then it has the second turn where it's like, no, he didn't go vigilante, he didn't go rogue. He was just revealing his true self of who he was in the back in the day, you know?
That's exactly right. So that leads into what I wanted to say about this. It's definitely a cross between Taken and Death Wish.
Nice, nice.
He's this, wherever he comes from, wherever he learns the set of skills.
Right.
And he takes it to be this Death Wish guy, you know, like Charles Bronson or something. I mean, and then it has like a sprinkling of Safe Room in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where he like locks everybody in, you know?
Locks them in the basement.
Yeah, I mean, oh, I can't wait. This looks so, like so much fun.
Right.
This looks like so much fun. I love how he has like the life of intrigue and adventure that he, espionage, whatever, he leaves behind. And then they show him like he's just this guy stuck in the burbs. Like, you know, just wants to take the trash out. You know,
and it was so funny because it also had a little bit of My Blue Heaven, you know, or
yes, and that's Goodfellas. A good one too.
Yeah, and a Goodfellas one.
Hey, it's a great day for a mo.
You should get out of the freezer section. You can melt all this stuff.
My Blue Heaven is one of my tops. I love that movie. I love that movie. So you're going to see this, I take it, right?
I'm going to see this. We'll see. I'm more interested to see how Universal handles their streaming and how, where they would stream it if they were to stream it, how tight their window is going to be. Because it feels like this is a theatrical release, and I think they kind of are pushing.
Oh, 100%.
They're pushing for the theatrical release, but who knows? Who knows what 2021 holds, even post-vaccine. Or you know, herd immunity, whatever it stands for, you know.
New vaccine, new presidential regime, you know. Yeah, I mean, so many new things coming out this year. Lots will change. So, yeah, we're going to see, you know. But, I mean, I'm going to watch it either way, you know. And
yeah,
I might not, you know, I don't know what the future holds with going to the theater, but for sure streaming in the home.
Yes.
So Cobra Kai season 3.
Oh, I'm so excited for this.
If you like watching teenagers beat the shit out of each other, this is the show for you.
Oh man. I mean, just coming off the high of the season 2 finale, the all school brawl.
You know what's hilarious though? You sent me the trailer, season 3, uh-huh. And I binged them so fast. And I'm like, oh my God, season 1, they're already showing season 3. We haven't even seen season 2 yet.
And you're like, nope, I just did it all at once, all together.
It was like season 1 and 2 in a week. Oh God, binging could sometimes be the worst.
Binging turns things into a blur.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
It seems like they're bringing in a whole new realm of allegiances.
Right.
Even amongst the teenagers, different allegiances. And then I would say the Asian woman, I'm assuming Japanese.
Right.
The Japanese woman, Japanese guy, I'm assuming Miyagi's daughter and son?
Yeah, I thought maybe. Yeah, maybe it is. I thought it was his.
That was my thought.
I thought it was his wife, but I guess, you know, she's way too young for that.
She was way too young to be Miyagi's wife.
Yeah, and you're right. Who knows? Who knows? I think you had the hopes that Elizabeth Shue was going to be in this, right? And there was no inkling of that. That doesn't mean that she's not going to be in it. You know, we'll still see.
Well, that's right.
But there is another. There is another blonde in this that you're very excited about.
Did I miss one?
No, Dee Snider.
Oh, Dee Snider. Dude, when I saw that, so I'm watching, I hit pause immediately. I did a quick screen grab that I cropped out for Ted. Send it, I'm like, hell yeah, Dee Snider, you know? Oh, that looks amazing. I wonder, there's got to be like a concert scene.
Oh, no, there is. There is, you know, because they show them. Yeah.
Well, obviously there is, but, and it's got to be where, like, I don't know, it's got to be some return to the 80s thing or something. I don't even know.
Yeah. And you know,
how do they even fit that in?
But you know, Johnny's going to like scalps. He's going to buy some scalp tickets for this.
Totally. Totally.
And he's playing up that his little buddy is in a wheelchair. Cause I think his friend, his neighbor is going to be in a wheelchair for a little bit of this.
Yeah.
They have a lot of scenes with him like picking him up out of the wheelchair. So that'll be interesting to see how long they can keep that kid in the wheelchair.
And, you know, I wonder too how, okay, so the kid's paralyzed, paraplegic, it looks like. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he's trying to like do the thing he's doing. But I can't see them giving away spoilers to that extent in the trailer. So what I'm thinking is at some point he's got to start walking again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's no way they're going to keep the kid paralyzed and stuff. You know, he's going to make a recovery.
But yeah, I mean, overall, yeah, we're fans. We're going to watch it.
Everybody's in on this. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's like low hanging fruit. It's Netflix. They're like, what are they, like 25 minutes each? You know, it's like, how do you, there's 10 of them, you're done in like, you know, 250 minutes.
Well, it's so funny because the first season aired on YouTube Red, right? YouTube TV.
Did it really?
It did. And it was, oh. And I remember we did it. I don't know when we did the first trailer for the first season. But I was like, nobody's going to buy YouTube Red for this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's a few hardcore fans that are going to go to it and try it. But even if you subscribe to YouTube Red, you're not going to keep it. You know, there's no subscription. There's no locking users in, whatever. And Netflix picked it up after it kind of fell a little flat. And when Netflix had it, they just, you know.
It exploded.
They just tweaked a little bit of the algorithm. They just put it in front of a few more faces and, you know.
And made a good trailer.
Let the social media take off on it. A good trailer out of the, you know, second season. And
let me say, too, though, I know movies and seasons are a little bit different. The trailer to the trailer for this one wasn't too bad, though, because the trailer to the trailer was a recap of the previous season.
Right.
Which showed you how they've arrived at the place where they are now.
Yeah.
It was a little bit longer than your standard trailer to the trailer, but it also wasn't a trailer to the trailer. It was a recap trailer to the trailer. But I think that was well done too, because when you're looking at seasons and so on,
you need to catch people up.
Yeah. You got to reacquaint your audience with the characters, with what happened, get them all back. And then it's like, all right, let's get into what's to come and re-excite everyone. So I think right. That was well done too. I mean, I think we had, like I said, nobody was by far the best trailer to the trailer I've ever seen. And if they were all this brilliant, I don't have a problem with those.
Right.
And I think Cobra Kai was good too.
And they can't all be brilliant in the same way.
Exactly. You got to be original. You got to be originally brilliant or brilliantly original. Brilliantly original. There you go. All right. Andor. Let's wrap it up Andor. With the sizzle reel from Disney Plus so we could get all of your tears mopped up off the floor, your tears of joy.
That's right. It's right here. The Rogue One poster.
That's it.
Unlike a typical trailer, this is sizzle reel, so it's more of the behind the scenes.
Sure.
And Diego Luna, Cassian, he gives us a, you know, the feeling of everyone, you know. He talks about premiere night of Rogue One. And how bittersweet it is that, you know, Rogue One is a one and done, you know, everybody dies at the end of the movie. You know, how can you have anything that is after that? You know, it is final. Rogue One is a final chapter in the story of these characters. But, you know, as we learn through this sizzle reel that they have 12 stories that they can tell within the line of this young, young rebellion. And, you know, Diego Luna's character, Cassian Andor, is kind of the whole hub of all this action, of these 12 stories. And to me, I pick this sizzle reel over all the other trailers that we could pick out of the, you know, Investor Day, because it really gives us the idea of what Disney and Disney Plus want to do. And they want to showcase the fact that they're going to put film cinematic level expertise and scope and money and everything into these 12 stories and make 12, you know, films or 12 short cinematic pieces and put the, you know, all the crew and all the makeup and all the creature work that they would into a feature, you know, series, you know, the trilogy or any one of the trilogies. This could easily be a trilogy unto itself, 12, you know, 30 to 45 minute pieces like Mandalorian, you know, except instead of just one character, you know, it's a whole espionage world, you know?
Yeah, it looks incredible. I'm looking forward to watching. I think it's, I almost want to say a supplement to Mandalorian. And the only reason I say it that way is because I think as a family, we're so like sold on The Mandalorian.
Right.
That now when other shows come, it just kind of builds upon what it is, even though they're probably completely independent.
Right.
I'm sure going into it, I'm going to feel as though it's a supplement. And then after the first episode, I'm going to say, okay, it's a standalone. And then that notion will dissolve and fade away.
Right.
But what I want to know is, looking at the BTS on this and watching people being interviewed, you know, there are short little snippets of an interview and so on. But it gets you thinking, though, like, some of the people are a little bit older, middle-aged. Some of the people are, like, fairly young.
Mm-hmm.
But how does one get a job doing what they do? Like, how do you become so good at this at any point? Like, if I'm going to put forth some video, I'm going to do some recording,
right,
and edit it in iMovie or something, right? Or you know, I'm going to do photography and I'm going to do the things I do. I mean, but how do you create something? And maybe you could say this for everything, to include like Avatar and other movies that we've talked about, even Nobody and all the stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But how do you put together this comprehensive, like, I don't even know how to describe it, you know, but
the body of work, like, how do you start it, right?
Where do you begin? How do you assemble the team? How do you go to a production company or whatever it is that has enough money to put forth on the cameras, the computers, the sets, the design, to front you everything on the trust that you have to say, you know what, I'm going to produce this thing, and you have the ability to do it? Like, how does all that happen?
Yeah.
How do you learn how to do this stuff? It's mind-boggling to me.
Well, I think it's so funny, you know, I've compared you to my 14-year-old daughter a lot, but
I'm not as good looking. So let's start there.
Okay. But you and Audrey's been asking that same question. Like, she is hell-bent on being a director, you know, and this is like a new thing. She's done this maybe for a year now. And between directing and screenwriting, she kind of, you know, she vacillates back and forth, and she's writing something right now that she won't let any of us see. And she's just writing this huge opus of something.
Does she write it in the sense, like, because I've seen stuff that was screenwritten, you know, and it's written almost like a play or something, right? Where it's like this guy that, you know, and it kind of, or is she just writing it like a novel?
I don't know. I don't know how she's doing it. So we'll see it eventually. We're trying to give her space to write it.
No, that's ambitious. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what I was saying. It's an audacity of like, what can I do? And this is what she's brought to me too. It's like, how do you start? How do you get into this? How do you become the auteur director of said movie X, you know, whatever the movie is, you know?
How do you become Scorsese?
Scorsese, David Fincher, those guys, you know?
Exactly,
and it's,
right.
And it's like, well, you just got to start. You just got to do it. You got to make a student film, figure out a little story that you can tell, and really match the scope of your short story to something that can be cinematic, and then just build on it and just build here and there. And then
it starts organically for sure.
Yeah. For some, I'm sure. And then some have to be in the right place at the right time. And then, you know, like Spielberg is breaking into the Universal lot and like stealing a trailer and just kind of hanging up his own shingle in there and pretending like he's a producer.
I know. It's amazing.
So, I mean, those days are gone, but I'm sure you do something similar to that. And I think now with the way YouTube works and the way TikTok is, you know, I think there's ways that you can garner a following.
You have to be so good.
Yeah, you just garner a following and then you build off that following. Then the following would help, you know, mainstream people say like, oh, if you have a following, then you have a built-in audience.
But do you think, though, Andor, who's ever looking at, like, costume design,
uh-huh,
is going to TikTok and saying, that person has a good costume, I think I'll hire them and offer them a job to make, like, a Jabba the Hutt No way.
No, I mean, I think this is more of the fraternity of labor unions and things like that. So you kind of make your way up through. I think a lot of the crew is the old apprentice route and probably still similar to that.
Well, no, the crew and stuff, like my whole family was in the movie industry, yeah, and everything. And so I get that side of it. I'm talking about like being a grip and moving lights around or something, uh-huh, or being craft service and catering like chicken.
Right.
Like, that's one side of it. The other side is, though, like, you're the person directing, or not even directing, but you're the artist who's doing the rendering of makeup, or I don't know, they're showing the guy working on the hand or something.
Right.
You know, so becoming that guy, you have to be such an amazing artist that people are going to find you, or you somehow submit your work and say, hey, I did this, I want to work on Star Wars, or I don't even know. Like, how do you do that, though? You know, all I know is I don't have any of the skills necessary or able to do any of that stuff. So I'm not even asking. So don't even try and hire me.
But I would think it's similar to maybe, but you had a desire to make this sound better, right? Like 3 years ago, we started this and then neither of us knew. So like,
oh, okay. Okay. So it happens organically.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I'm going to study up on it. I'm going to play around with it. And then you got into it a little bit. So,
and then one day somebody says, wow, your podcast sounds really good. We need some sound engineering. No, I'm serious. Like,
yeah, exactly.
On a small like film or something, right, we need some, right, sound engineering. Would you be able to do it for us?
Exactly.
And then like, I figure that out and then it's like, well, that turned out great. And then somebody says, wow, the sound design was really good. Uh-huh. You know, who did you use? And they're like, well, this guy. And the next thing you know, it just kind of grows and grows and grows. And if I were 20, I have a future.
Right.
But at my age now, it's like, dude, I'm getting too old for that shit. No, okay, I get it. Okay.
I mean, something, you know, it happened this week. I hopped in a meeting. I'm on a Zoom with somebody and, you know, with some people in other companies, and we're taking, you know, this vendor on, and we're trying to, you know, feel them out. And I hop on the Zoom and everyone's like, oh man, you sound so good. and you look like the setup looks so professional, you know? And I was like, well, I have a podcast on the side. And then one of the guys at the end of the meeting is like, I have a podcast idea. I want to, you know, hit you up. So one night this week we chatted and he doesn't have, you know, and I've taken these calls about, you know, once every other month. And I'm always, you know, I always encourage people to podcast. It's always welcome. Everyone should podcast.
Yeah. Just get your, whatever you have to say, get it out there.
Get it out there. And so I was ready. I had my stuff down. I was ready to give this guy the same pep talk. And, you know, half an hour before the meeting, he sends me a link and he's got a full documentary. He's making a documentary about the 51st shows of Guns N' Roses. And he has one of Slash's middle school, high school friends.
That's amazing.
Who is the third generation of Cantor's Deli. And he basically kept all of the ticket stubs, posters, all the memorabilia. He took video, film, stills of early Guns N' Roses. And he basically was like their documentarian without being a documentary, just Slash's friend. And he basically followed them around for the first couple of years. So they had this treasure trove of stuff. Jason, the guy I talked to, he wrote a book. He has like a coffee table picture book called Reckless Road, where it's the reproduction of all of these collages of all these, of all the ticket stubs and all the posters and everything. And now he's got interviews and he's doing some more interviews to put together a documentary series. So basically, because of the setup that I have here, he asked me about it and I was like, no. The thing you have is visual. Let's not limit it to that. You know, you spent a lot of money on this. You've put a lot of effort into it. You know, you're going to get paid for this. It's a limited documentary series. You know, it's a limited documentary series that you could get, you know, paid for. So let's just go with that. Don't fool around with making it, calling it a podcast, and then getting people upset because most of the content is behind the paywall. Do you have it up?
Dude, it's amazing. Yeah, Reckless Road. Guns N' Roses and the Making of Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm not going to play it now, obviously, because we're doing what we're doing. But there's like YouTube videos. I love it. 954 views, like not even 1,000. Come on. We could get the guy to 1,000 at least. Yeah. And then, oh, Reckless Road trailer, though, has 62,000.
There you go.
Yeah. That looks amazing. That looks amazing. I'm going to watch it. This is great.
So, yeah. So I was saying, like, you know, it does organically happen. You know, you put yourself out there and, you know, I'm excited for the next 51st gigs. You know, we'll see what he has in him after Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, and you know, and that's true though, what you said. I mean, I didn't really think of it that way. Is you just kind of do what you do, and then I mean, things happen organically. I mean, I think when you have people who get in through nepotism sometimes, and I'm not talking about like, you know, just a grip, a guy who gets in or an electrician or something. I mean, like, I understand that stuff. That's behind the camera. I mean, a lot of that stuff's behind the camera, obviously. I mean, even the makeup and everything. But you do what you do, and you kind of, you know, and you tweak things and you do things and it's almost like a hobby and you do it for the joy and love and make no money. And if you can afford to do it and you have the time to do it and you're good at it and people discover you and yeah, you know, the only thing I would say today, though, is the tools are so easily had by everyone that everyone can make good sound if you just take a little bit of time to work it out and make sure you spend a couple $100 on like a good microphone.
Right.
But yeah, you know, overall though, I mean, watching the BTS and watching the BTS of pretty much anything, I think the reason they make BTS, like Jim Kenny, right? Like he does BTS video and stuff.
Right.
That stuff is just amazing. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to watch this. This is a guaranteed.
100%.
100%. Like, there is no chance I won't watch this.
We know it's on Disney Plus. We know that it's going to be.
Bar's low.
You know, we know we're gonna have that forever, you know.
For sure.
Hopefully it'll be family friendly enough for the boys to watch. So
you know what? I come to realize I was worried about The Mandalorian at first. Like, oh, it's not family friendly and all this stuff because it seemed a little bit intense. I think Disney, that's about the most intense Disney's going to go on us is The Mandalorian.
Right.
There are some intense scenes. But then they like offset it with cute Yoda or baby Yoda, you know, Grogu, right. But I still got to say baby Yoda. Just
Everybody does. Everybody says
yeah,
that.
Out of spite because Grogu's so lame. But anyway, man, what are you watching this week?
Well, we watched The Mandalorian today. Did you watch it today already?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we won't be able to until tomorrow. Clarissa got home late from work and she had like a crazy admission and she came home. It was one of those ones, you know, she's an RN, of course.
Right.
And it was one of those admissions she had where like she comes in, strips her clothes, maybe not to the nude, but close enough in the garage and then makes a beeline for the shower, you know, because it's just, yeah. So, and then she did that and then with dinner and
yeah.
It was too much. So, yeah, tomorrow we're going to watch Mandalorian. So, but it was good though.
Excellent.
I can't wait. You know. Are they still getting better week after week?
So this week was
no spoilers
as good. So last week was directed by Robert Rodriguez. So you're going to have a level of action that is probably going to be one of the heights of the season. But the action in this episode was very, very good, and it had some cloak and dagger stuff in it that you don't necessarily expect, and we have the return. We know the return. It's not giving anything away to say that Bill Burr is in it again.
Oh yeah, I knew that was coming, you know, because we saw
he's the main guy in the episode.
They're gonna try and break him out or whatever.
Yeah, but his viewpoint as a former Empire, whatever he was, a soldier.
His perspective was
really spot on. And his thing is really about like you got to do things so that you can sleep at night, you know? And he kind of questions Mando's, you know,
ethics,
his code of ethics that he lives by, you know, this is the way, you know? And it's like, is it really the way? Or are you just like everybody else when things get messy? You know, when you want to save your kid, are you just going to give in to all of your, you know, all of the things that you said you'd live by? You know, so he really, and it takes a personality like Bilbo in real life to just, you believe his character when he's questioning Mando. And it's just like, it kind of, it bleeds into his real life. Like,
yeah, it almost brings in like social dilemmas or, you know, various things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, and you know, and those conversations happen and you're like, this is not the action packed episode of last week. And yet it is extremely satisfying. So I think that's important, to be satisfying and not be, you know, one note or the same thing every week, you know?
For sure. Yeah. 100%.
And then for the rest of the week, I got HBO Max. I did it.
Oh yeah. You were talking about that. And what is that? $15 a month?
$15 a month.
Okay. So it's the same as what HBO's been all this time.
It is. And I think we had paid for HBO back in the day and then we turned it off for a bit. So then, you know, Anne was kind of scoffing.
Did they abandon HBO Now?
No, I think you can still get that. I think,
what's the difference?
I don't know. I think you could just get less with it at the same price point. So I don't understand why you would do that.
So HBO Max, I mean, it's Max. You should have everything, right?
Well, HBO Max, you do have everything. But HBO Now is just HBO.
Oh, so HBO Max, you could still get like replays of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Oh, the whole,
you can still get Band of Brothers.
Right. The whole HBO library is there.
The whole library is there. And everything new and everything theatrical and everything else that they're going to do.
Right.
But HBO Now still exists?
For some reason, I think it does. I think HBO exists as part of a package. Like if you're grandfathered in, if you have HBO with your cable provider.
Oh, maybe.
Then you have HBO Now.
But what if you were an HBO Now subscriber? Does it like shift you over or?
Well, I think you have to do it yourself.
Oh, okay.
Because we turned it on and I thought that we were doing it and I was like, oh, this is just HBO. Like, why are we doing that? So I was like, all right, so turn this off and then actually just go straight into. Because we tried to buy it through Amazon, you know, how like
the add-on.
Yeah, just do an add-on. But when I added HBO to it, it only added HBO. It didn't add HBO Max. So basically, I just undid that subscription through Amazon. And then I said, all right.
Man, talk about confusing your.
Right, exactly.
That's like awful.
Oh, and speaking of confusing it, your pains. I heard this week in the investor call that they're adding, I think as soon as March or April of 2021, they're going to add the premium Hulu to their bundle.
About time.
So just like you were having the issues of not having the premium Hulu in your bundle, now coming March or April of next couple months, you'll be able to do it.
What I got to say is, after my after my experience, and they sent me the, what was, the, we want to hear your thoughts survey from the email, and I ripped them one in the survey that they sent me. They were probably like, oh, we need to change this up. Jim from Trailer Junkies Podcast, you know, he said so.
I think they mentioned you in the investor call. So
I wouldn't be surprised because I ripped them a new one, I thinking that. You know what though? It makes sense. Why wouldn't you like give me the option?
Right, exactly.
Like whatever, let's say it's I'm just throwing numbers out, but let's say it's like $14.99 and it's ESPN, Hulu, Disney, you know, with commercials, or it's whatever, $16.99, you give me all of that and it's the premium with no commercials. Who cares? Why would you deny me to limit me to have one over the other? It doesn't even make sense. If I want to save money and have ads, okay, sure. And let's say at some point I want to make this a month goes by. I hate the ads. Let me jump ship. I'm going to go to the more expensive one. Let me do it easily. I don't know. Why should I be on call for 35 minutes to an hour with customer service?
Right.
Because I just don't want ads. It shouldn't be that hard.
It doesn't make sense to be that
difficult. Just click a button for crying out loud. Man.
All right. So within HBO Max, I've been watching a lot of stuff. Did I watch it this week or last week? We watched Scoob. Did I tell you about that?
Oh, no, you didn't tell me about Scoob.
Okay, great. So we watched Scoob early in the week.
Good.
And it was good. It was fun, you know, just for the kids, like Scooby-Doo, like their movie that's in theaters and now it's on HBO Max. So we watched that. We watched Super Intelligence, the
oh, yeah.
Melissa McCarthy. Is that right?
And Scoob was episode 109.
Okay.
Where we covered, well, Scoob.
and then that was Monday. Then Tuesday, we watched Super Intelligence and we covered that in episode 138. So very recently.
Ooh, 138. Oh, yeah. That was.
Felt very recent.
That was a few weeks ago. Yeah.
So like last month. But it came out and it was good. And right in the beginning, I think there's a couple of sex jokes at the beginning of it. Like I had sent.
Of which one?
Of Super Intelligence.
Oh, good. I'm glad it's not Scoob.
and it's so funny because I looked it up on Common Sense Media because I knew that, you know, I was going to try to watch it.
Right.
And I sent Common Sense Media had a trailer within Common Sense Media about how accessible this is to children or how easy, you know, how good it would be to watch as a family. And it had got pretty high rated, pretty, you know, it rated pretty family friendly. But within the first 5-10 minutes, she goes to a like Tinder kind of office.
Uh-oh.
and they make a bunch of sex jokes. And Aunt looks at me at dinner and she goes, turn this off. I was like, we saw it together. We watched the video on Common Sense Media. They said it was a good, uplifting movie, a, you know, very wholesome movie with like just a little bit of implied sex, you know? And then they quickly got out of there, you know? And then the whole rest of the movie is really like positive and uplifting. And I was like, see, look, you just gotta like gut it out through 5 minutes of little uncomfortable Tinder jokes.
Yeah, you just gotta sweat it out. Who's more uncomfortable, mom or daughter and son?
And then it's really just about like, how good does humanity have to be to save itself from the superintelligence, you know?
Yeah,
and I think what we had said in it was spot on, and we kind of, I mean, it's not hiding what it was, and it was just a fun movie to watch.
Good. That was cool.
And then to kind of round out what I watched with the family, we watched the Call of the Wild.
Call of the Wild. Did we cover that one?
We covered that in episode 96.
In episode 96?
So that's a little bit ago.
You're on it. You're on it. Oh, a little bit ago. A few weeks ago, we were covering ones from like episode 6 or something. Which I love. I love. Bring back the old days when we were horrible. Well, I don't know if we're any good, but.
Right, exactly. Don't even listen to those. But this one you could probably go back to listen to. I'm definitely going to go back to listen to this because I think we were spot on. You can tell that Buck, the dog, is computer generated. And early on in the movie, it's funny because it's you can tell that he's computer generated and you're like, why do they do that? Why can't they just hire a dog and try to...
Because it's easier than hiring a dog trainer and a dog who's going to shit on stage.
But you're surrounded by other dogs. You just needed to get a level of activity and reaction from Buck. But it's so funny because, you know, as the family watching it, we complained about it in the first 20 minutes. You're getting into the story of it.
What did you guys complain about?
How bad, like how the CG looked bad. How it
looked
not like, you know, uncanny kind of bad CG. But this is a good old, Jack London, you know, this is a classic novel.
It is a classic.
About the frontier, you know, and the story of the dog and this man and, you know, and this, you know, it's of the Yukon and, you know, Alaska. It is the Call of the Wild. It is a story that is so enveloping that the bad CG kind of melts away. And within half an hour of the beginning of the movie, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter because the story is so good.
Wow, it's that good.
And it's told in a provocative way that just keeps you involved and enthralled. So,
oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
How about you? What have you been watching? Oh, one last thing. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Veep. I've been watching a couple episodes of Veep every night.
I heard that show's pretty good.
It's amazing. It's a nice juxtaposition because Ann and I still watch a little bit of West Wing.
Right.
So we watch a West Wing here and there. We watched a couple West Wings this week. And then every night I watch a couple episodes of Veep because it's half an hour. And yeah, I'm glad. It's so funny because I started to watch all these shows and then I just stopped. And I figure as long as I can start, if it has like 4 or 5 seasons, just start beginning of season 3, you know, just start there, regardless of what you remember or not.
That's a good way to get through to it.
and then, you know, oh, I think I watched this season, you know, and then you just kind of make your way through the season. You rewatch a season. And then by 4 or 5, you know, you're into new stuff. So that's my advice. If you ever drop off off of a series, just jump back in episode 3 or 4, depending on how many seasons are out there.
That's true. That's a good, I like that advice.
How about you? What have you been watching?
Yeah, we didn't do much this week. We're still watching Nightfall. That's a couple of seasons on Netflix. We're starting the second season now. I would say that show started off pretty, because I like that point in history. That's what got me to watch it. You know, kind of the medieval 1200s or so, and, you know, and looking at knights and
right.
Whatever, King Philip and so on. The thing that's kind of turning me off to a little bit, though, is it's getting to the point where the writers are now making it so outrageous and grandiose that, you know, daring escapes from the gallows and, you know, it's like, okay, sure. Did this, you know, like the characters are real. Yes. Did this stuff happen? Highly doubtful. You know, now it's TV drama that's just getting stupid. But we'll see where it goes. We'll watch a few more, of course. But one I saw today that was really cool, my friend Rudy shared with me, is The Ghosts Above.
Oh, yeah. You shared this with me.
I sent it to you. It's like 35 minutes. It's like really short. It's a short film by, I'm going to get the name wrong probably, but Rainin Ozturk. And it's about the search for Sandy Irvine's body and clues up on Mount Everest from their 1924 attempt.
Oh, wow.
You know, with Mallory and all those guys and everything. It's a National Geographic film. It was sponsored like by Sony and North Face or something. Yeah, Mark Sinnott wrote the story for National Geographic and everything. And the cinematography... I think I got that.
You got it. Good
job. Is awesome. The photography is really cool. I mean, it's a Nat Geo photographer, so of course the photography is going to be good. And, you know, it's just the story about these guys looking for, you know, Irvin's body and everything and, you know, going up through the death zone. And like I said, it's like 35 minutes. It's super short. It's on YouTube. You know, as somebody who, you know, like, and I was, Rudy's one of the guys I go and I do like climbing stuff with, and we'll go like bagging peaks and things. And it's like, you know, talking to these guys, you know, my friends watching these things, it's like really, I mean, I've never been to Everest. I don't think I would have any desire to.
Not even base camp. Come on. Let's go to base camp one.
Base camp, maybe.
Let's do base camp.
But
one.
I told him, I said, I've been trying to get him to do Aconcagua.
What's that?
That's the highest peak in South America in Argentina, and it's like at 22,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So Everest is approaching 30,000 feet. So you're like 7,000 feet lower. And if you think about anything in the Sierra, you're looking at like 14.5. So 14.5, you're like, oh, I feel sluggish. You could just run up from like the trail heading down in a day. It's like, it's not going to bother you so much. You get to 22,000, it's going to like, you're going to feel it.
Yeah.
Everest is going to kill you. That's the difference in like 14 to 22 and 22 to 30. You know, it's like 22 is going to take a little bit of acclimation. It might take you a couple weeks to do the trip or something. But Everest, oh my God. Like, it's way up there. And the thing I like about it, though, is they talk about the Sherpas. You know, it's a short film, and they only touch on a few things for a short amount of time. But, man, they do such a good job compiling it.
Yeah.
I'd say watch it with your kids. It's inspirational.
It's free, right?
Oh, it's on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay.
Watch with your kids. It's inspirational. It gets you kind of amped to, and you know, it might not be, Dad, let's go to the Himalayas, but it might be, let's go hiking in the Santa Monica Mountains. You know, what's the highest peak in the Santa Monicas? Oh my God, it's at 2,700 feet. Let's go check it out, you know? And here's the trail to get there or something. Whatever. It's a start, you know? And
right.
And it gets you out. It gets you going uphill. It gets you checking things out, you know? And maybe it sparks something, you know? But I think it's great for kids to watch, families to watch, anybody who's into adventure and mountaineering. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say climbing. It's not like the Dawn Wall.
Right.
Or any of that kind of stuff. It's not that kind of climbing. It's more mountaineering climbing where you have like crampons and ice axes and stuff. But man, it was,
yeah,
for such a short film, it was so awesome to watch. I really enjoyed it. So I would highly recommend that.
Awesome. And what did you say what's a peak height
of?
No, local, like around here or around you or around.
Oh, the Santa Monicas?
Yeah.
I think their highest peak in the Santa Monicas is like 2,700. It's not very high.
2,700.
But okay. If you get up into the Angeles Crest, Baldy's the highest. That's like 10.5.
Okay.
So that's no joke. I mean, 10.5, you're not going to be, as far as oxygen and all that stuff, that's not going to affect you. But you are above the tree line. If you go in the winter, you got to deal with snow and stuff.
Right.
Even in the summer, crazy weather and wind can kick up. So the weather is going to be the biggest thing there. Even in the warmest summer months, you're still going to encounter, you know, like you can encounter high winds. You can encounter like spur of the moment crazy rainstorms that really pop on you. So it's an easy, like, if you're looking at a mountaineering adventure kind of a thing,
right?
Baldy's an easy, I could do it, I'm not gonna die, but it could give you that sense of things can whip up in a hurry. It can give you the exhilaration of, oh my God, we're gonna die, but you're not gonna die,
right?
You know what I mean? But if you're new to it, you're like, oh my God, it's raining. We could die up here of hypothermia. But it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
did you know that I have, I've told my children that I have kind of a rider for all of my ashes when I die? I have a request.
Oh no. Where are you spreading them?
Base camp. One of the base camp one, which I guess I have to.
Oh, but you used to live or something there, didn't you?
No, I went there for a couple of weeks when my dad was making a map of Bhutan. My mother.
Oh, what would Freud say?
Yeah, exactly. My mom and I were in Kathmandu for either a couple of weeks or 3 weeks or something like that. To visit him.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
The hotel there in Kathmandu is called the Yak and Yeti. And I used to hang out in the lobby.
Yeah, talked about this before.
So we flew over. And I've always wanted to at least climb to that base camp. But it looks like base camp,
it's like 17,000.
Well, no, 17,000 is like the height. 17,000. But
No, I think base camp one is like 17,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I should specify to the children. I just want them to go to this Namshi Bazaar, which is the Sherpa's main Sherpa capital, right? And it's only 11,000.
Oh, okay.
It's 11,000 feet up.
Well, let's not get those ashes spread too soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, we want to keep you around a little bit longer. Or you can have them split in thirds, and it's like that one, the Bazaar,
uh-huh.
Base Camp 1 and then Base Camp 2. I think Base Camp 2 is about as high as Aconcagua, which is about 22,000.
Wow. I don't want to put my kids in peril. I just want the Base Camp 1 or this you know, this Nemshe Bazaar. And then I actually do want another place is Elephant Island.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Because I'm a big Shackleton fan, so.
Yeah, nice.
Antarctica adventure. I better make some money. I better make some money to leave them so that they can afford all these this ash spreading.
I'll tell you, that's a heartbreaker. I had this Shackleton book, and I read this book, and it was about his Antarctica adventure into, you know, going to South Pole and all this stuff.
Yeah, crossing.
How they got stuck in the ice and, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, like, treasured this book, you know, because, like, I read it. And it was, like, this story that I just totally loved.
Right, right.
I embraced the story. I don't know why, but I always enjoyed it. And Jake's a puppy, and he chewed the whole book. So I've always thought, you know what? I'm gonna buy the book and replace the book. And then I can never, every time I went to hit buy, I could never pull myself to do it because it wasn't the same book.
Right, right. It wasn't the like, book that you had.
It doesn't even make sense. When I say it out loud, it doesn't make sense. But when I have the emotion...
I get it. Yeah, it makes sense.
But when I have the emotion in my heart, like, I feel it. But when I say it, it just sounds stupid. You know what I mean?
It's funny. No, it's funny because Anne has all these Egyptian books because she was studying some Egyptology. And now Bryce was studying Egyptology in his social studies class. And she pulled all the books down from the bookcase. And one of her books has a big chewed corner out of it because her dog, too, did not want that book to exist, I guess.
All right, man. Yeah, so good week of trailers. I finally loved the trailer to the trailer. I know you did, too.
Now we know how to do it.
Everyone take a punch in the face.
No, they don't have to do that anymore. Just have Odekirk. Just clip this out. And even if Odekirk's not in there.
I want to see Tom Cruise take a punch to the face.
And you know he does. You know he would do it.
I want to see Harrison Ford take a punch to the face. Who else?
Oh, man. They announced another indie movie with Harrison Ford. Can you imagine?
Oh, God. What is the guy, 85 years old? I want to see Meryl Streep take a punch to the face. All right, man, let's get out of here on that note. All right,
talk to you later.
We'll talk to you. Bye.
See ya.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.